Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Now you got me tonight. You won't be here as long, I can tell you that. But I believe God did give me a word for you, but it won't be long. But I do have some other things I need to talk with you about after. So don't just hightail it out of here, okay? No hightailing. You just stay put for a little while and let me just talk to you afterward, okay? All right, good. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we will see you do again those things that you have done. And I thank you that you'll use us to do some of those things, Lord. So I pray that we will be readily available to you. And I thank you for the word you've given. May it fall on ears that are here to hear what you have to say to them. And I just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 16:4. After he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief, let's say lack of faith and their hardness of heart, because they didn't believe, which they had already seen him after he was risen. So I'm going to use, that's the King James, but that I'm going to read out of mine. I have them marked here. And I'm going to read what mine has to say out of here. Chapter 16, verse 14. After he appeared to the 11 as they sat at supper, he reprimanded them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. That means they didn't believe. People were coming up to him saying, hey, we've seen the Lord. He's risen. I mean, they heard him say he was going to rise again, but they just did not believe what they were hearing. So he reprimanded them for not believing what they were hearing after he had already told them that this was going to take place. He reprimanded them. He didn't like that, that there was no faith. And I personally have known many people that fear things done in the name of faith. They fear excess. So instead of believing things that God says that we can do, they end up in unbelief because they don't want to believe those things. They don't believe in praying in tongues. They don't believe in worshiping outwardly. They don't believe in a lot of things. Healing today. There was a person I talked to, and they said, well, healing's not for today. And I'm like, it isn't? It isn't? Well, I guess it won't be for you. But so they don't believe those things. And I know a lot of people. So they fear excess in faith. You know, because we've all seen excess. But, you know, I'd rather cool down a zealot than try to raise the dead. So anyway, that's what I have seen in my life anyway. And they end up not believing the greater things that Jesus said that we are supposed to be doing. There is a list of greater things that we're supposed to be doing. And they end up forgetting that part. So they go through their life kind of like comfortable. They like to stay right where they are. And they strive for balance. Well, what in the world is balance? I mean, really, when you think about balance, what do you think of? I don't know, the middle of the road, maybe, you know, the balance. Is that balance, the middle of the road? Not too much, not too little of something. But there's no risk in balance. There's no risk if you just live a balanced life where you don't have too much faith, but you don't have too little faith either. So then there's no risk in that kind of life. There's no risk. People who are balanced, they look like they're doing well, but they're never going to risk anything, and they're going to miss out on all these other things that God had for them, and they're just going to miss out because they want that balanced life instead of the life that God has called us to. He doesn't want us staying in a balanced life. That's kind of a comfortable spot. He wants us out of that comfort zone. He doesn't want us sitting in our little balanced life. Luke 18:8. I'm going to read what Luke 18:8 has to say. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus didn't say, will I find balanced people on the earth, people of balance who don't have too much faith but don't have too little either. He didn't say, will I find balanced faith? He said, will I find faith on the earth, the kind that he displayed when he was here, that kind of faith he wants to find when he comes back. And so I question myself, well, Lord, do I have that kind of faith that you have, so that when you come back, you'll say, yes, that is a woman of faith? I mean, I prayed for the gift of faith, and then I thought, you know, should I pray for the gift of faith? Because if you get the gift, then you don't have to walk in faith, right? I mean, I thought of it that way. I thought, if you already have the gift of faith, you have it. So you don't have to have faith to believe for faith. And I know my brain thinks a little odd, but I was thinking that today because I always pray. I say, God, I want to be a woman of faith. I want the gift of faith where everywhere I go, I have the absolute faith to say what you say, to do what you do, and nothing less. But anyway, I do pray for that. But people of faith sometimes offend people who are not so full of faith. Stationary people is what I call them, or content people with the way that they are living. Sometimes people of faith can be offensive because they're just so out there sometimes. I mean, have you seen people of faith who are really just so out there? And you wonder, wow. You know, you look at them, and they can actually cause an offense to people who are stationary and comfortable, and they're not willing to leave that comfort zone to be out there. Jesus didn't call us to be comfortable and to be like everybody else and look like everybody else. He wants us to be out there. Amen. And be out there and be different. He doesn't want us to be standing and sitting and in our little comfort place where, you know, I don't want to look like that when I go out. Well, sure you do. That's what Jesus wants you to look like. He wants you to get out there and be bold and not be comfortable where you're staying. Don't stay in the middle of the road. Don't stay in the middle of the road. Let me ask you this. Is there such a thing as too much faith? Say it loud. No? There's not such a thing as too much faith. Did Jesus have too much faith? Okay. Well, we haven't even done half of what he did on this earth. We haven't even done half of what he did. And we're worried about having too much faith? Honestly? So don't fear faith. I have that in capital letters. I just want you to see. Don't fear faith. I want you to say that. Put your hand on yourself and say, don't fear faith. Let's get busy doing the greater things that he told us that we should be doing. He told us those things. John 14:12. I'm going to read that to you because I love that verse. And it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do also, and he will do greater works than these, because I'm going to my Father. So he gave us the power and the authority. Now that he has gone to the Father, we are here, and we're supposed to carry on. Okay, have you seen anyone raised from the dead? Anybody? No? Oh, okay. Baruch has. Okay, that's exciting. Raised from the dead. That's a good thing. Have you seen blind eyes open? Yes? Hallelujah. Deaf ears hear? Hallelujah. So we're seeing that there are some people going around doing the things that Jesus did. He opened the eyes of the blind. He opened the ears of the deaf. Have you seen lame people walk? Absolutely. So have I. So my thing is, I want to see a person healed of cancer. And I don't mean in remission. I mean healed forever until they die of natural causes later on in life. Amen. Healed. They go on with their life and they do what God's called them to do. That's one of the things. I know Bill Johnson at his church has, I think they have a sign out there all in their driveway or something. Are Michelle and Anthony here? No. They were just out there. But it says this is a cancer-free zone. Yeah, cancer-free zone. It's not allowed on that property. And if it comes on the property, it's gone. It's gone. And I love that. So I think we need to get that radical. I do. I think we need to get that radical. The world is getting more radical every day. And they're probably so angry at Christians now, I think part of it's just because they're being rebellious. And the Bible says that there will be haters of God. And so, of course, naturally, they're going to hate those who love God. So the Bible says that that's going to happen. But I think it's so much more now because they have not seen the power of God. When a person sees the power of God, they cannot hate God. It's impossible. They are in awe when they see the power of God happen right before their eyes. So we are not, Christians all over the world and all over our United States are not doing their part. We're not doing our part to help these people who are so against God, and we want them to be for him. But they have got to see Christians standing up and living the way he wants us to live and doing the greater things that he did. So there's no way that Jesus didn't have faith. Of course, we know that. And once we have done the greater things, once we get a little tiny taste in our mouth of some of those greater things and we see what God is doing through us, there's no way we can ever go back into unbelief. There's no way. To me, that's almost like a cure, an instant cure of unbelief, is if we get out there and we do the greater things that he's called us to do, and then all of a sudden we're seeing it. We're seeing right before our eyes, blind eyes opened. I know a young girl, a precious young lady, and she went to, I think it was Africa, but I'm not positive. And they were on a mission trip, these young teenagers. She was like 17 when she went. And she was told about this mom who had just delivered a baby, and the baby was dead. And they had it wrapped in the tent, this little kind of hut kind of thing with dirt floors and everything. And they wanted to go in there because they believed that that baby would live. And I forget how long the baby had been dead, how long it had been delivered and dead. And they went in there, and this girl, she had such faith at that moment. She picked up that little tiny baby, and she held it in her arms, and she was just praying over it and speaking life over that baby, and that baby came to life. Perfectly healthy baby. It came to life, started eating, and she was totally in awe of that. And she came back and she told me, she was crying when she told me, because it was such a beautiful thing to have this little dead baby. And the mother and the other children were like hysterical, you know, just, oh my goodness, because this baby had been dead for a while and now this little baby was alive. So once we've tasted of those kind of things, I can tell you she'll never go back to unbelief ever, never, because she saw what God did through her because she had the faith to believe for that little baby to live. So I believe that's our instant cure for unbelief. I really do. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, and we have read this numerous times before. Let me find my verse 6 here. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. We have a gift of faith that is in us that was deposited the moment we received Christ. We have a gift of faith in us, and we are responsible. The pastor's not supposed to stir you up. Your friend is not supposed to stir you up. Music is not supposed to stir you up, although it does stir us, you know, spiritually inside. Good worship music can really move you. But we, the Bible says, stir yourself up. If you've been in unbelief, and I believe we all go through that at some point, but if we get in that place, we had better quickly realize what we're doing, and we better start stirring up the gift of faith that is in us and say, faith, you come forth. Faith in Jesus' name, I'm stirring you up, and I'm saying I'm believing in Jesus' name that I'm going to do the greater works that God said I'm going to do, and I'm going to start doing it. If it's just praying for someone in Walmart, that is my biggest prayer ministry right there. I'm not kidding, in Walmart. I walk around, and I just kind of pay attention to different things that are going on. I have prayed for so many people. There's one girl there at Walmart that works there, and she had a horrible problem with her feet, and she was in such pain, and I could see that she was, and I just said, ma'am, are you in pain? And she said, oh, my goodness, yes, I am in such pain in my feet. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And I said, I believe prayer works, so if you'd like me to pray for you, I will. And I bent down in Walmart. I know people think I'm crazy sometimes, but I was praying over those feet and those ankles in Jesus' name that they would be strengthened, that the pain would be relieved. And I want you to know, I see that girl every time I go to Walmart. And a lot of times she's on break sitting in the entranceway. And she said, girl, don't you walk by me without giving me a hug. And I hug her because God did something there for her. So Walmart's honestly the best. Just go in Walmart. Outside Walmart, in Walmart. There are so many people there that need to see the work of God happening in our lives, in the community, in the world today. I mean, they've gone too long, honestly. The world has gone too long without seeing Christians doing what Christians are called to do. The world has gone too long. And I say Grace Tabernacle needs to be the one to start that fire again. I say we need to be the ones to start that fire again in people's lives so that they can hunger after God again. They can see, man, what is God doing? Look at that, these people, and they're just praying, and look what God's doing. Let's do that. I posted a video, but I should have had it brought up tonight on YouTube. And I don't know where it was, but this lady's arm, it looked like her humerus had been broken, and it healed crooked. Like part of it was this way and part of it was that way, and that's how it healed. So it drew up her arm, and her arm was all drawn up. It looked horrifically painful and horrible. And it was some kind of meeting, like a revival kind of thing, and people were all yelling and praying out so loud. They're just praying and praying, believing for this woman's arm to be healed. And it looked like the evangelist guy or the pastor or whatever, he had a bottle of water, and he just kept doing this and throwing water on that arm and throwing water on that arm and throwing water on that arm. And they kept praying and praying, and this went on. And all of a sudden, you can kind of see the arm kind of moving. And before the end of that video, that arm was hanging straight, perfectly straight. God put that humerus bone, bam, right together. And there it was. I mean, how amazing is that? That was a miracle. But people need to see things like that today. They've got to see that. And it's not that we have to, of course, believe by faith. But if they don't see God's people doing what God said we're supposed to do, I'm telling you, we're losing the nation. We're losing the generation of young people who are just, they haven't seen it, so they're just like, ah. So let's be committed to becoming some of those people that are kind of radical that are willing to be a fool for Jesus. I mean, I don't mind kneeling down in Walmart and praying for somebody's feet. I do not mind that at all. I mean, there are other ways, you know, other things that we can be doing as well. But what are some ways that you can stir up your faith? Tell me some ways. Yell it out. What are some ways that you can stir up your faith? I'm going to tell you one. I'll get it started. One way is to be with people of faith. The unity of faith, I mean, there's just power in unity. And when you are walking and your friends are Christians, there's something about that that helps build your faith. If you're hanging out with people who don't know Jesus, don't care about Jesus, talk yucky about Jesus, have no hunger for him, then you're going to become the same way, because the Bible says we become like those who we hang out with. And I used to tell my children that all the time. I said, you can't walk with the devil and think you're going to be like Jesus. That's just all there is to it. It's just not going to work. So you're going to have to make sure you get your Christian friends and you build one another up. Iron sharpens iron. When I'm weak, I have people who help me. They help me to become strong and build me back up. And then when you're weak, I want to be there to help you. Come on, we can do this thing together. You're not alone. So the unity of unity, in unity there's power. Amen. And the unity of faith grows in that atmosphere. So what is another way that we can stir ourselves up? Okay, yell it really loud. Prayer of agreement together. The Bible says, if you touch and agree for anything, it shall be done for you. I love touching somebody's hand and saying, in Jesus' name, we're touching and we are agreeing for whatever it is that is going on. We're agreeing. So the prayer of agreement is very powerful. Jude 1:20, the book of Jude. I say 120, there's only one chapter in Jude, sorry. There's only one chapter in Jude. But verse 20 says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know who here has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I'm just going to tell you one thing, that is where the building yourself up can be so beneficial, because our minds are only meant to pray what we can think. Well, my mind evidently doesn't think a whole lot. You know, when I'm praying, I'm trying to pray and think of all kinds of ways to pray, and there's only a limit to what I can think of to pray for this situation or this person or whatever. So when I start praying in the Spirit, I'm just telling you, I can feel the power of God just rising up inside of me, because it is a prayer that agrees with exactly what God is saying and wanting in that situation, because it's the Spirit. So it's just spirit to spirit, and it is so powerful. And I had the hardest time, of course, being Baptist for so long, even thinking that was okay. You know, I mean, I just thought, oh my goodness, they're just learning that or something. I don't know. I just had the most difficult time until I actually received that. And I was like, oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because now when I have come to the end of my words and my vocabulary, that's it. I pray in the Holy Ghost, and I'm telling you, the power of God rises in you. So that is one way. The book of Jude says, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So that's one way you can stir your faith up. Stir your faith up by praying in the Spirit. I'll be driving down the road. I'll pray in the Spirit for however long I'm driving sometimes, just however. I don't know what I'm saying, but God sure enough does. So I don't really care if I know. But anyway, I just want us to do. So doing what Jesus did is going to build your faith as well. When you go around and you heal, like that young woman I see at Walmart all the time, when I see her smiling at Walmart, that helps build my faith more to continue to pray for others to be healed or continue to do whatever it is that God lays on my heart because I see her. So when we continue doing the works that God has told us to do, we're going to build our own, we're going to build our faith up every time we do, every time we do. And so I think it's really important. So let's be life changers in this world. Let's not be middle of the road people who just are really comfortable and we're just too scared to be out there and be a little crazy. And we don't want people to think weird things about us. So we're just going to stay right here in the middle. I'm not real good at walking the line. I can tell you that. I told Pastor if they ever stop me for going in and out of lanes or whatever, they put me in jail, I think, because I cannot walk a straight line. That's the truth. He says, show me. And I will do it, and I'm falling all over the place. He says, oh, my goodness, they would put you in jail. So, I mean, I just can't walk it. I'm trying, you know, that heel to toe thing. It's like, and they tell you not to use your arms. Well, how do you not use your arms? That keeps my balance. So anyway, but let's be life changers. Time is really short. I just have to tell you, I've heard a number of people say this. They're hearing a trumpet sound. They're hearing a trumpet sound. And it's like the sound of, you know, when they go to battle and they do that sound, that battle sound on the trumpet. I've heard that people are hearing this trumpet sound. And they don't know where it's coming from, but I'm just telling you, I don't know if this is what it is, but I believe so many people have heard it that I think we better be ready. We better get ready. We just better get ready. Yeah. So let's be world changers. So let's raise our hands and say, Lord, I want to be a world changer. I want to be a life changer. Just like Isaiah said, use me. Use me, Lord, wherever I go to do what you tell me to do. Thank you. I want to do the greater things. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.